In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In St. Paul's epistle this morning, we are urged, dear faithful, to the need for exercising our faith in a practical manner and also to fight against any kind of vain glory. St. Paul points out the way in which we must conduct ourselves if we are to do our earthly duty to God, to our fellow man, and also to ourselves. We see the contrast in between the teaching of the apostle and our world putting a great deal of egocentric emphasis. This week, on September 14, we will celebrate the exaltation of the Holy Cross, and the day after, on September 15, the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother. The cross of our Lord's crucifixion is an outstanding testimony of the humility of Jesus Christ and should be a constant reminder for us that humility is essential to living the Catholic faith. But first, let me put the historical events in perspective. At the time of our Lord, crucifixion was a shameful death reserved by the Romans for convicted criminals and rebellious slaves. It was finally in the 4th century that the Emperor Constantine abolished the use of crucifixion in honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And consequently, the cross, the crucifix, became a respected symbol of the Catholic faith. Around the year 325, Constantine's mother, Saint Helena, traveled to Jerusalem to search for the cross, which now would be honored as a sacred relic. It is reported that she was able to identify our Lord's cross amid several others by the miraculous healing of a sick woman to whom the cross was touched. She ordered the demolition of a pagan temple built on the site of the crucifixion, and she ordered the construction of a church under the title of the Holy Sepulchre, where a big relic of our Lord's cross was placed for veneration of the faithful. The other part of the cross returned with her to Rome, together with the nails of the crucifixion. In the year 610, the Persians invaded the Holy Land, conquering Jerusalem, burning the church of the Holy Sepulchre, and taking the Holy Cross with them back to Persia. The Eastern Roman Emperor Heraclius attempted to arrange a peace treaty with the Persians, but their many victories made them arrogant and they didn't want to negotiate. After a long period of prayer and fasting, the Emperor Heraclius assembled an army and he defeated the Persians. As a part of the peace settlement, Heraclius demanded and received the return of the cross. He determined to carry it to the place of the crucifixion on Mount Calvary, and dressed with his regalia, finest gold and jeweled clothes, as he assembled an entourage to make this ceremony very solemn. But a strange thing happened. No matter how hard Heraclius tried, he was totally unable to carry the cross up to Mount Calvary. The Bishop of Jerusalem, named Zacharias, approached the emperor and suggested that he would better imitate our Lord Jesus Christ if he were more humbly dressed. On swapping clothes with a humbly dressed beggar, Heraclius easily carried the cross to the place of the crucifixion, where he ordered the reconstruction of a church of the Holy Sepulchre to house the cross again. As I told you before, the Holy Cross ought to inspire us to imitate the humility of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was God, the Son of God, humbled himself by taking our human nature and being born amongst us. Bishop Fulton Sheen gives a very vivid image to us to understand that. He was used to say that this was someone somewhat like a man who loved so much his dogs that he actually became a dog, walking about on all fours, eating dog food from a bowl and sharing the other's dog's fleas. That's not the most pleasant. Jesus, Bishop Fulton Sheen said, humbled himself in order to join us in all the difficulties of the human condition after the tragedy of the original sin, even to the point of enduring a terribly painful death. None of this was required of him. He could have lived in a nice palace. He could have worn gold and jewels like the Emperor Heraclius. Indeed, he could have redeemed the human race just with an act of his will, while enthroned with his Father in heaven. No need to share our fleas. But in fact, Jesus did humble himself so that we might come to know the importance of humility, and we might understand better the profundity of his divine love for us. We must be humble, first of all, before God. This is why we genuflect when we enter the church. We genuflect before the Eucharistic presence. It is why we wear our best clothes to attend to Sunday Mass. Why we spend our time in church in respectful and sacred silence. It is why we concentrate our minds in prayer. The ancient and venerable practice of ladies covering their heads expresses beautifully this sense of reverence and religious attentiveness, reminding that to enter the church is an anticipation of the kingdom where the Father King made a marriage feast for his Son. This rich Catholic symbolism teaches us to be humble with all of the people with whom we deal. Friends, family members, co-workers, shopkeepers, and so forth. Humility with others is very important. For as soon as we start to think that we are better than someone, it becomes easy to sin against that person. God should be ever in our minds. At least figuratively, we must never take our eyes off the cross of Jesus Christ. And as we gaze upon the cross, upon the crucifix, in church or at home, we should be ever mindful that as our Lord humbled himself for our redemption, so too must we humble ourselves to benefit from that redemption and to strive for our eternal salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.